The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
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 What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 194?
Two.
I had Colin and Ryan on the text there. I said, please check it. They checked it, but yes. I immediately forgot it. 192 is the thing. Yes. I'm Greg Miller, one of your hosts, alongside, he only does everything, Colin Moriarty.
Yeah.
The Razzmatazz Barry Chipper, Ryan Clements.
Ooh. Yes, hello.
And the president of Sony Worldwide Studios, Shuhei Yoshida.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming.
Yes.
Thank you for having me here.
Why do you listen to this podcast? I follow you on Twitter and I see you tweeting about Podcast Beyond. I'm like, I cannot believe he's listening to me and Colin talking about the Islanders.
I do have choices, you know, to listen to Podcast Beyond or listen to Gaming Informer podcast or listen to other gaming podcasts. But, you know, I ask the audience. And you immediately, you know, reply that I should listen to Podcast Beyond. So... No, that's not the real reason.
I was like, you tweeted about it without me begging you to.
Actually, professionally, I like those podcasts. Oh, yeah, no, stop it.
No, it's fine.
I like those podcasts that follows more news, you know, the industry, you know, trend and business analyst, you know, that's because that's what I do, you know, professionally. But it's just fun to listen to you guys.
Okay.
You are more, you know, you say conversational, and you're very straightforward, you know, what you like or what you don't like.
Yeah.
Even you are supposed to be focused on PlayStation things,
yeah.
But you're so vocal about, you know, what you think we're not doing right.
Yeah.
That's a good feedback.
Yeah.
And like yesterday, you know, I saw you, you know, saying that, I can't hold PS Vita.
Yeah.
I have to, you know, listen to you, right?
Yeah. Well, and now, yeah, you're referencing an article that I titled, the PlayStation Vita is hard to hold.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people freaked out in the room. I was like, oh, you're giving up. I'm like, no, I was just saying, I'm making the point that you can't leave your fat fingers like I do on the back panel. Like, for years, I've held the PSP like this, you know, with my, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm currently holding a PlayStation Vita.
I know, it's right here.
Sorry. I hold it like that with my fingers stretched out on the back, and now I've got to get used to getting in a little side hold.
And that's all valid point. Because we go through all the, you know, user testing, but you're making comments of how sometimes you accidentally, you know, use the back touch to, like, use some items on the
system. Yeah, like Stardust, yeah.
Yeah, but these games are still early. We have many months of going through the playtest and improve, because now hardware is final. Almost final. Uh-huh. You know, 98% final.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. So it's, you know, our developers' time to try different, you know, ways to use, you know, back touch, front touch, you know, sensors, and find, you know, go through the many iterations of playtesting and perfect, so that, you know, you wouldn't feel, you know, the same, you know, issue next time you play.
Okay. Yeah. How are you? What do you think of the launch lineup so far? And the launch window lineup, or the stuff, you know, that we've all played at E3?
Well, because I'm so close to the development, I couldn't tell myself. You know, I can say that Uncharted looked great, and Little Deviant's use of back touch is interesting because I've been demoing that to people and people like it. But I couldn't tell overall when we showed the part of the lineup, launch window lineup, a couple of weeks ago in LA and London. I was complimented we have strong lineup, and I was like, really? thank you. So that's so exciting to hear the, you know, kind of direct feedback. And, you know, because we showed the actual playable games, you know, many games for the first time, and you have to try to really kind of get a sense, you know, how Vita games might be, you know, different from other games, you know, games on PSP or other systems. So initial feedback that I'm getting personally is very, very good.
Okay.
Yeah, so that makes me very excited. But we are games, you know, that we, some of the games we are showing are still very early. So that makes me very nervous how people...
how the final product...
Like people like yourself can be very, very critical. But so far, you know, you like most of the games that we showed.
I think Little Big Planet is the perfect game, like, for the Vita. I shouldn't say perfect. It's not... You know what I mean? For using it. Because I picked it up, right? And as soon as I picked it up, like, I'm so used to Little Big Planet, I knew what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But then when the touch stuff came up, as far as, like, dragging a box or pushing the back thing to make a stairway and tapping on the
camera keys. I'm so glad you mentioned Little Big Planet. Because, you know, many times, you know, portable games are criticized, and it's true that many times portable games of one franchise IP is you know, cut down smaller version of that game. But, you know, with Little Big Planet is all about tools, right? All about what kind of games people can make. You know, addition of this front touch, back touch, camera motion sensors, consumers, you know, they will be able to make use of any features of Vita and create games on that.
Yeah.
So I've been saying that Little Big Planet on Vita is not a cut-down version. It's a next generation of Little Big Planet.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking too. It's an evolution, right? Because it's doing something completely different. And also, I know we're jumping out from Vita, but the move controls for Little Big Planet 2 are amazing.
Wow.
The fact that you can draw whatever you want and animate your own
That's
characters.
That's coming from Greg Miller.
Yeah.
You were not convinced when we had a big launch of PS Move, you know, how close I was worked on the system development.
It's creepy.
It was very disappointing to hear from yourself saying that, well, you know, at the end of the day, at the launch, you know, you should wait. You should wait for more games to come out to decide, you know, purchase it or not. But, you know, I take it as a great feedback.
Yeah.
And now you like what, you know, the team did with Little Big Planet.
Oh yeah, I thought it was just so impressive, because it was one of those things. The demo starts off with simple stuff like, all right, you can climb into
You're
this car.
You're not saying that because I'm here.
No, I'll tell you all the stuff you screwed up on if you want. But we'll get to that in a second. I got one for you. I got a critical pin to put
in
there. But no, like, the demo for Little Big Planet with Move started off so simple with, you know, now you can put Sackboy in this thing and move it around with that. And then it was like, now you can record your own puppet movements, like, you know. And then they got to this where you can make your own sprites now, so you can make your own video games. And like, that's insane.
And actually, two other members of our editorial team, Brian and Scott, are both from an art background.
Yeah.
So they've done a lot of art and animating and stuff like that. And they both tried it and were mesmerized.
Wow.
Completely. Yeah. Scott said, like, they were just...
Scott went to Cartoon College. Like, he went there to...
We always say that as a joke, but he did.
Yeah, he did. I mean, that's really his whole thing. And, like, they were both blown away. We're going to have a feature up next week about how what this means and how awesome it is.
Well, Media Molecule guys have to listen to this podcast.
We've had Spafford on before. I'm sure they'll get back onto it.
It just seems like it took some time to figure out how to use Move more effectively or whatever. Yeah. At the same time, though, I was Sports Champions is still my favorite Move game. And I was excited to see that those... You know, that same studio is now working on another game.
Medieval Moves.
Although I wish it maybe was Sports Champions too. But, you know, well, I'll take what I can get. But I do have a question about Vita and the launch lineup, or the launch window lineup.
Yeah.
Which is, have you guys been kind of observing what Nintendo has been doing and kind of the lukewarm response to Nintendo's 3DS because there's a complete lack of games for the system? The first party, so you guys have, you know,
there's Street Pass. You can put together puzzles. And they make Bowser.
So there's, like, you know, you guys are working on Uncharted, and you have Mod Nation and Super Stardust, which is personally like the game I'm looking forward to most on Vita, and I really enjoyed playing that at the event the other day. So is that something you guys are kind of looking at to make sure that, you know, there's a lot of compelling software for people to get right away?
Well, absolutely, yeah. Well, I just say about, you know, Nintendo's 3DS lineup, I mean launch, I was surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Like many of you must be surprised.
Yeah.
So But they have games coming out later this year, so, you know, let's wait to see, you know,
yes.
new games from Nintendo. But as far as we are concerned, we really, really wanted to have many different types of games on PS Vita at the launch. And we had many different teams working on different kinds of games because we just didn't want to repeat what we did on PSP. And part of that was our involvement, Worldwide Studios game team's involvement in the development of system itself. This time, you know, PS Vita development started in 2008. And we were there from 2008. In the, you know, small room, in the hotel room, you know, discussing, you know, what should be the core goals for this new, you know, PlayStation Portable system, even before, you know, we had made decision, or company had made decision, what CPU and GPU, you know, should be for the next system.
Mm-hmm.
And you may know that in the console development, you know, semiconductor, CPU and GPU, it takes the longest time. And these are things, you know, that will be, has to be decided before anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we are there even before, you know, company made decisions on the core CPU and GPU choice, they needed our input, you know, of the hardware choice, even from the very beginning through the, you know, completion.
Yeah.
So that made a huge difference in terms of people. I really like the reaction to our announcement of the price.
Okay.
$49.
Yeah.
But I've been saying that that was one of the goals we wanted to hit with the, you know, PS Vita, you know, from year 2008, because we didn't want to repeat the, you know, mistake we made with PS3, you know, high cost of goods.
Get another
job. You know, because we had so many things we wanted to put in hardware, we wanted to put cap to our ambition, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And we analyzed every single different options on hardware we could put on PS Vita, from CPU, GPU, amount of memory, screen choices, you know, sensors and camera choices, and whether or not we should have touch panel behind the unit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we did was ask hardware teams to create some prototypes, early prototypes, using, you know, prototype devices, and provide us so that we can use with, you know, PS3 or sometimes with PC, so that our teams can develop small, short games, prototype games, to see if these new UI element works. So it's, you know, easy to say we want better cameras, right?
Yeah.
We want, you know, we want touchpad from every, you know, side of the things, or we want more memory, or anything. And we agree that it's not like who is, has the loudest voice. You know, we have to prove with actual working game, or even short, you know, technical demonstration, how new additional tech will enhance the actual gameplay.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how, you know, we kept a, you know, tally of things we wanted to, or we could, you know, have on the system, and some made it, some, you know, didn't make it. And the backtouch was, you know, started low in the order, because, you know, it doesn't really make sense to have something behind the unit, until, you know, big teams created the demo of Little Deviants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as soon as we touched it, we are like, oh, this is new.
Yeah,
this is something we can use on other, you know, so the thinking started, even including the imagining some other companies' games. What if that game make use of backtouch in this way? It's going to be really interesting to be able to, you know, reach behind the character or something.
Yeah.
So that's the process we went through. So what I'm trying to say is, when our teams got the actual hardware development kit, all teams already knew why these devices, new UI elements, exist in PS Vita. So they already have some idea, you know, they wanted to try with their game. So I'm not pushing, or we are not pushing every game to use every aspect, because you will be, you know, criticizing.
Yeah.
You know, before anybody.
Well,
you are like Uncharted, no touch, no sensor, you know, I just need stick and button.
But,
you know, we totally understand, but give us chance, give our developers experiment, so that you can make your judgment.
Go ahead. No, I mean, I think Little Big Planet, like I said, is a great use of it. And in the Uncharted thing, I've said, I like the buttons and I like doing that. Yeah. But a lot of people were saying that they actually liked the trace and they liked being able to tap. And I do like it in certain situations where there was one part when I was climbing and it was one of those things where Drake, I kept trying to get him to reach to this one ledge, but he kept going the other way. And I was and I just finally took my finger off and tapped it. And he jumped right where I wanted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I just wrote, not 2 days ago, right? I wrote a story about Golden Abyss on IGN about how I'm skeptical of what I call gimmick controls, but I really enjoyed most of the control and the alternate controls in Golden Abyss. And for the listeners that thought we were being sarcastic, there really is a Vita on the table, and it really is running Uncharted right now.
I'll take a photo. We can put it there.
So
we'll show our sophisticated podcast setup here, how we're recording this.
It's a Vita. And a little
my question is about. I have another question about just the name Vita. Mm-hmm. Obviously, PSP. Has some, I guess, negative stigmas, but it really is a wildly popular, it sold 70 million units. It's the only non-Nintendo handheld to really do really well. So was there any thought of just calling it PSP 2, or did you guys know you wanted to call it something else right out of the gate?
Well, let me say something.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding us of the successful side. We are a big fan of PSP, and we are very proud of what we've done with PSP. In terms of business, in its
70 million sold, they announced this week, right?
Yes, that's wildly successful. Yes.
Yeah, so it's not that we didn't like the name PSP. We are proud of the name PSP,
right?
But PS Vita, was actually a code name, project name, worldwide. When we started the project in 2008, the project name was NGP. Actually, NGP was the very first. Project name, so we call it NGP for a while. But at one time, hardware guys, product planning people, proposed, let's change the project name from NGP to Vita, not PS Vita, just Vita. And they took it from Life. It's in Latin or some language. because the core concept, they proposed was, we want to make your life from morning to the evening, entertaining. We want you to be able to reach, to PlayStation, connected to PlayStation and connected to your friend through PlayStation Vita, everywhere, anywhere, anytime.
Mm-hmm.
So the merger of life, your life and entertainment, and make it, easier, through PS Vita was the core concept. Yeah, so we kind of like the concept, and it's just a project name, right? Anyway, so how the guys wanted to call it, Vita, and we were like, oh yeah, okay, Vita. So up until the announcement this January, the project name was Vita, and it was actually included in our development kit as well, but we couldn't decide on the name, by the time we announced. So went back to NGP, because NGP sounds more like a generic, right? Next generation portable. So people wouldn't mistake it as the final name. And, continued the discussions and came back to Vita, because, for us involved in the development, including our marketing guys, kind of the name grew inside. And it was very unfortunate that Vita name just leaked out. Without a chance to be, able to explain why life, why Vita, on the, portable gaming system. So I'm hoping that, we are not showing other aspect of PS Vita as yet, like a social connectivity.
And the near stuff,
Or, entertainment options, or, web browsing, or social network applications. But we'll do so later, this year. So that people will see the whole, ways, many different ways to use PS Vita and why you might want to consider, purchasing PS Vita and, carry it around.
Mm.
So at that point, I hope people would say, oh, yeah, PS Vita, okay, it makes sense. And
yeah, I think people will become more comfortable with it.
How are you doing, Colin? You were very you didn't like the Vita.
Well, yeah, my inclination was that PSP2 would have been a strong name, just because Sony has been acknowledging more and more that PSP, in other words, trying to control the fact that some people think PSP hasn't done well, but in fact has done well. So I thought maybe they would try to you know, continue along with the name. But at the same time, you know, I will tell you that, you know, just talking to other editors, not, you know, we're PlayStation centric, but, you know, just the other editors, the buzz about the handheld is really positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people have people are really excited about it.
Anthony Gallego says this will be the second system he's ever bought on launch day. So you're in rare air there.
I'll tell you, I can speak for Greg and I in particular. The inclusion of trophies, which we are obsessed with.
I know that through the podcast.
On the handheld, it means we'll just play just about.
I know. It'll be, it's gonna be. I can't wait for all this.
I have you even purchase trophies.
Right? Oh yeah. That's what I'm always saying. We go to these events, you give out the swag bags and stuff, the T-shirts. Just give me a piece of paper. It's a download code for a gold trophy that says I went to the GDC event. It'll be awesome.
You should see some of the games we play just for trophies.
Colin got broken by Kung Fu Panda 2.
Yeah, we play all the children's games for trophies. That's how obsessed we are with them. But I think people were skeptical of Vita going into it or NGP, but I think that there are a lot of believers now, and I think that the most positive buzz, frankly, from this year's E3 is about Vita, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so, probably, too, right? Because I think it helps that it's concrete, you know about it, and you can see the proof is in the pudding with the launch window games.
Yeah, they're actual games.
Because that's the whole thing. Yeah. The 3DS, last time we saw it, came out and had all these, you know, cool tech demos last year, but then none of those games came, and the games that did come out at launch didn't have use of the 3D, and they weren't street passes and doing, you know what I mean? Like, they just didn't have it, whereas this one, you do have the Uncharted that's serious, you have Mod Nation Racers, which I can't wait for. I hope everybody buys that in the office, by the way. I hope that's the one they get, so I can actually play with people in the office.
And that was another game that had the alternate controls that I was really impressed with. The back.
Oh yeah, for creating tracks. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I don't have an incredible amount of experience with the Mod Nation franchise, but I was really intrigued by what I was seeing with that. I think that like you said, you don't want to force the controls. And so far from what I've seen, even with Stardust, it seems like it's all clever and timely. It's not forced. It's not like, you know, like even with a game like Uncharted. You don't have to turn it off in the menus. It's just there. If you want to use the analog sticks, use the analog sticks. If you want to use the touchscreen, use the touchscreen. I think that's the best. That's the best method.
Yeah. So now here's the thing. You want me to be critical or whatever. You talked about the reaction to the price of the Vita. What did you think of the reaction to the announcement of 3G being with AT&T? Because I had never been to a press conference where like everybody was quiet, and then some people started laughing, and like I felt so bad for Kaz. He was like, "Okay."
It was super unprofessional.
Totally. And that's the problem with doing a conference that's open to both. Hey, here's all these press people sitting out here, and then also fans and stuff. Because fans are jerks. You're a jerk fan.
Well, I used to live in California, right?
Yeah.
Until 2008, and I owned iPhone, so I totally understand. But, you know, there are people outside, you know, of U.S. who are there, like people from SC Japan. Mm-hmm. They asked me, why they are, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to explain, you know, what had happened.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but, you know, AT&T is a big company.
Yeah.
The number one carrier. And I hear that as far as data service is concerned, you know, AT&T, you know, people have sometimes may have problem with, you know, voice receptions. Mm-hmm. But I hear that data services are pretty decent.
I'm going to make a request that I want you to push through. First off, I think it's brilliant to only have the $50 price difference in the Wi-Fi 3G, because I'm seriously considering the 3G model now, and I'm hoping that the data plan is $20 or less, so that's one request. The next thing, though, make it available so I can tether it. I would love to be able to use my Vita as a Wi-Fi hotspot, because that would be the thing. Because on my iPhone, I'm grandfathered into the unlimited data plan, which you have to, you know, pay through the nose for now. And so to tether it, I'd have to change it, and it'd cost me $1 million. Whereas if I had a new device that I'm already going to be carrying with me, because I want to do all this near stuff. I want to beat Colin. I want to get trophies wherever I am.
Yeah, I'm gonna overtake you in trophies by the end of the year.
No, you're not. It's over.
So we are not announcing the data price.
I know, and
it's going to be different per country and region. You know, in Japan, in Asia, and Europe, we'd have different, you know, carriers. But we consistently, we've been in our discussion with these carrier partners, you know, we've been asking that, you know, let's make it not, you know, require people to subscribe for, you know, longer terms, like 2 years, or, you know, it's okay to have options for people who use it, like, you know, unlimited.
Huh?
But let's make sure that, you know, people have an option to, like, purchase data connection as you go.
Cool. Do you guys have anything else?
what you have something?
I do have something.
Oh, yeah, no, please. You've been quiet. You've been so quiet.
I know. I just like, I love hearing everybody talk. Actually, this is a little off topic, but I wanted to ask you.
Yeah. What's your favorite show?
That was almost my question. I was going to ask you how you felt about E3 this year, and then compare it maybe to the Tokyo Game Show, because obviously you've attended and seen both a number of times, and just wondering how you think these two shows compare and what they mean for the industry.
Well, there's highs and lows on every show, and because I used to live in the States, from 2000 to 2008. And, we all saw the consistent kind of, decline, I would say,
yeah,
of relevance of Tokyo Game Show, maybe outside Japan. Actually, they seem to be now focusing to expand into including Asian market, mm-hmm, like China or, Asian countries. There are lots of, boosts from those Asian, publishers and developers. So the focus, they are, showing, maybe different focus. And because of the content that, Japanese publishers have been releasing, less of them will come over to the States. So, I see that, from the, people like you, the U.S. media standpoint, you might feel less, excited going to TGS compared to, five,
it's a different kind of excitement. I get to go to TGS now, and I don't have all this work to do, and I can enjoy the country.
Well, they still have great food.
Japan, uh-huh, they still have great food.
E3. Well, E3, has some, issue.
Mm.
Has some issues, but it's so exciting to see this big E3 coming back, and especially these, announcements and the press conference, and now we have huge, screen, even 3D screen, and a great audio system to showcase our games. And, looking at new Uncharted 3 on TV is great, but looking at Uncharted or Resistance on that huge screen with gorgeous audio is something, it's an event. Right, you want to be there to participate. So, going to these, big announcement, big event is huge. And I can feel the same kind of excitement from people here. And as far as we are concerned, this year's press conference, because we made it so that here's big PS3 games coming. There are lots of PS games, we are releasing. So let's just focus on this year's games. We, talked a little bit about next year's, yeah, games, like Sly Cooper or Starhawk, but most of the focus was this year's, big releases. And, of course, the center stage would be PS Vita. So I think that went very well, and I hear, great, reactions from people who are there. So this show has been great to me. I had a chance to take a look at, what other company had to announce, and it's interesting.
Yeah.
And I still haven't got my head around. So we'll have to wait to see more. But definitely these new announcements and these big showcase things. I was there at EA, press conference, mm-hmm, and looking at Battlefield 3, beautiful.
That's a gorgeous game.
Yeah. So I think industry is in a good shape. There are still a lot more we can do to improve what we are doing and get, keep us being relevant to more and more people. So I think it's great overall.
Okay. Colin? You had a laundry list of questions. You got anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah, I mean, if we want to change gears, when I want to talk about PlayStation Network, if you don't mind, because obviously you listen to the podcast, and we did have some concerns about the PlayStation Network outage and what happened. I guess, can you just take us through, when you guys first found out, when the PlayStation Network first came down, and first of all, how many nights did you not sleep, and how crazy was it over there, and really, is there anything that you guys think you did wrong that you guys would have done differently if you could handle the outage again?
Okay, lots of questions.
yeah, I got so, one.
Actually, you had special podcast, right?
Yeah, when it came back, we came in and celebrated.
I was listening from you know, outskirts of Tokyo, and I was so happy to hear those people calling in and you asking them, you know, what game you play. Yeah, so the,
oh, what?
so I really actually that made me a huge fan of Podcast Beyond.
Actually. Okay.
Yeah, I like Podcast Beyond before, but yeah, you know, the fact that you had special podcast show for the, you know, timing that we got the PSN up and running, and you kept, you know, explaining to people, you know, what's happening and what you might want to do, mm-hmm. you know, when you are concerned about your, you know, personal data, before we had, you know, been able to get the PSN up and running. So I really thank you for doing that. And as far as how I found out the outage, you know, because I do not run the PS network side or operation side, you know, I just noticed, there's some maintenance, you know, happening. And, you know, I expected it to last like half an hour. Right? And and the next day I found that PSN was still down. Wow, this is crazy. What's going on? And then, and even internally, you know, not many people were kind of explain what was going on. So, and obviously there are lots of investigations going on and serious, like, concern about, you know, some data might be, you know, taken out. So, day two, day three, you know, I thought it's crazy, you know, like having maintenance at all is painful, right?
Yeah,
because we are in a global, you know, society, you know, any time you peak, some country is in the prime time, right? After school or after work. So some people, even 30 minutes is huge. Yeah, so I couldn't understand why we don't have the PSN up, you know, for more than, you know, a few hours.
Yeah.
And that continued in 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, and I was like, wow. You know, this is really, really bad. You know, in a both, you know, professional ways, you know, concern about the business and business partners, and being, you know, consumer myself. You know, I have developed the habit of, because every Tuesday and Thursday we update something, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I've developed my habit to go to the store and look at, you
totally.
Know, you know, previews and download demos, and. So I cannot do that. And when I, you know, boot up PS3, you know, first thing I look at the
trendies.
Yeah.
Well, what are they playing?
You know,
no one's there.
Yeah, they're playing. So I cannot do that. That made me kind of less inclined to even start PS3.
Colin is the exact same.
I played, like, when we were uncertain what was going on, like, the first day or two, I went on, I played a little Critter Crunch, and then as it went on and on, I'm like, the experience seems so incomplete, because, like you said, like, the first thing I do is, you know, I look to see who's online, I look to see who's playing, I like to jump in the store, I look at Greg's trophies and calculate how quickly I can catch up to him. Yeah. So I agree, and I didn't turn my PlayStation on again from that first or second day until the network was back on. And then, you know, Greg, and, you know, that Saturday when it came back, like you said, we did the podcast. Greg and I were going back and forth. We wrote some stories. Then we went Saturday night into the office to record our podcast. And then everything, you know, business resumed as usual for us on the PlayStation. But that was a painful, you know, few weeks for us. And, you know, without it or whatever. But I understand these things happen, I guess. And I'm sure that Sony's more prepared than ever now for
yes,
something
yes.
like
that. So as far as, you know, what we did wrong before the outage is after the outage, you know, lots of work, as I understand, have been done in terms of adding hardware, adding, you know, software, updating software, and adding more people to monitor the, you know, activities, you know, keeping more update with the new, you know, vulnerabilities found in the world. Looking at all those activities internally, you think, why we didn't that in before this happened,
right.
So that's, you know, that's a straight answer.
Right.
You know, we should have been doing more of that. What we are doing now, and because you may have noticed that network strategy is not just central to PlayStation. Now cars oversees all the Sony consumer electronics business, from TV, Bravia TV to digital camera to, you know, Blu-ray player to every consumer business unit is under CARS, and the connecting tissue is this network service. You know, we now call, you know, PSN on the PlayStation side and Curiosity on the non-PlayStation side, but the backbone is the same. And you can have only one ID, PSN ID, you can log on to any Curiosity side services. So going forward, you know, more and more values or investment will be done on the network side, so that all the, you know, different Sony consumer devices will be able to take advantage of it. You know, just you know, one single small example we demonstrated with the Ruin is you can save, you know, Vita onto the cloud so that you can download from the cloud, you know, from PS3 and continue playing. So that's the things, you know, people now expect, right?
Yeah.
All the other companies, you know, investing in some kind of cloud services, like Apple Computer announced, something this year, and the this week, and Amazon and Google. So that's the strategy that Sony has, and CAS is in charge of it, meaning that investing in network security, it has to be, and it will be, the, you know, priority number one to enable this network strategy for the benefit of all the Sony products, not just PlayStation products. So I have no concern at all in terms of our focus, our company's focus going on. But as far as those activities go, they are very smart. They are very, very smart, genius kind of people. And you know, we have no idea how, you know, who they're gonna, you know, attack. So we should be always prepared and to get those attacks on some part of our system. So you know, but I have confidence in our team, network team.
Great. All right, I have another free idea to throw at you that you can use. You can go into meetings. You can say it was all your idea, and then people are going to think you're brilliant. Right now, when the PlayStation Network goes down, even if it's for an hour or whatever, usually it's posted on the blog, and then we rewrite the news story, and we get a million clicks, and we dance around the office. But what should happen is when you're about to do maintenance, I say you make an automated robot that you can hit a button that'll send a message out to people's PSN inbox that says, "Hey, don't panic. Your network is down. I know, but this is why, and this is how long." Because I know that there was one for, like, I forget, there was some, whatever, I got a message from Sony, a real one, not a chain, saying if I did, my PSN would be shut down if I didn't do this, but I got a real message once, you know, a warning or a free game or something like that, so it's possible. There you go. You can take that one back.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
It's a free one for you, don't worry.
Thank you.
No,
and I will say that, you know, we thought, I think collectively, that the Welcome Back package was, you know, at least in North America, I'm not sure what it was in Japan, I know it was slightly different in Europe, but the selection of games that were given to fans, I think, was awesome. Infamous is one of my favorite games on the platform. Dead Nation, I'm in love with too, so that works. And plus, having a slew of other PSP games and other PS3 games to choose, I think that was the right way to go about it. People definitely didn't get, you know, middle tier games.
Well, yeah, but how much discussion was there on how to handle it? Because, you know, it's awesome that you did it, but, like, yeah, Colin and I own all those games.
Well,
you know what I mean?
So tell me about that. Like, the decision made by each region. Uh-huh. You know, we have the regional headquarters in the US, in Europe, in Japan, and in Asia, and each group made their own decisions based on the availability of titles for each region from our library of titles. So from Worldwide Studio standpoint, we just, you know, offer these are the games, you know, we can offer, and different, you know, sets were selected, you know, by each region. And obviously I like, you know, the US choice, and European choice are very similar, and I get lots of tweets from, you know, Japanese consumers, why we cannot have this and that.
Yeah.
Yes, so I'm very excited in a strange sense that now millions more people have chance to play Infamous, because I'm a big fan of Infamous.
Yeah,
I'm
it was pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. Excited with Infamous 2 as well, and we just announced at the press conference, you know, Sucker Punch is working on some very interesting, unique way to use PS Move in the create part of, you know, Infamous 2. So that update will come, you know, later this year. So,
yeah.
So the fact that more people are now playing Infamous 1, you know, they may be, you know, interested to try Infamous 2. So
and they
that's
should.
Great.
Yeah, 9.0.
IGN.com, Editor's Choice.
Thank you.
Well, great. I think we're over time already on you. But okay. Thank you for listening to the podcast. It's always great to meet a fan. Let me shake your hand. I can autograph whatever you want later. People should follow you on Twitter. We always give out our Twitters on the show. It's what's your Twitter?
Y-O-S-P.
Y-O-S-P there at Twitter. I'm Game Over Greggy. Collins, no taxation. Ryan is Plum Cider. IGN's IGN. And give me a Beyond before we leave.
Beyond.
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 Beyond. I don't know if it counts as my first Beyond. I didn't look at it. It looked like it might have been good. Welcome back to Podcast Beyond, episode 194-192.
Yes.
I'm still Greg Miller. Still Ryan Clements. This is still Colin Moriarty. We've ditched the dead weight that was you. I'm kidding. Thank you so much. What a gentleman he was.
I know, that was a great interview.
That was probably one of my favorite interviews I've ever done.
I think I was telling you guys through text and later on that I was legitimately touched when he was talking about how he was so excited that we did the Welcome Back podcast and called fans and stuff. Just another reminder that, you know, we're all one PlayStation family here. Thank you for listening. We're glad to be your friends there. I am god darn exhausted.
This man is ready to fall over.
Oh my lord. I laid down on a couch to write and build a page and I started to fall asleep, so I had to sit up. But
yes,
we're here to touch on other stuff. What do we want to say, Colin? How was E3?
I don't know. I mean, I'm really delirious right now, but I thought Sony did a nice job this year. I thought it was a good showing for them. I was excited about the games they showed, and the Vita, even though I don't like that name very much.
Is it growing on you yet?
I'm getting used to it.
I like Shu's response. I like his description of why they did it. Life and how it's going to be part of your life and how it's going to be bigger than that. And that's why it should tether. Let me tether to it.
Hopefully I'll bring that back to Tokyo and get that done for you.
Yeah, good. Well, I gave him some great ideas. Mm-hmm. I can't go
maintenance update.
Exactly. Robot. I can't go into details. I went after that meeting, I went to a meeting with Jack Buser from home. I gave him some Greg Miller gems too. Yeah. So, and when that gets fixed as well, that's why. Basically, Sony can thank me for everything I've done this E3 for them. Colin, what was your favorite thing you saw there at the E3s?
I think I was blown away by Vita, like I said, and I want to reiterate just in case people thought we were you know kidding around. There really was a Vita on the table.
I don't think anybody would think
that. Well, because it sounded like we said there's a Vita on the table and then we all laughed like
okay,
you know.
Okay.
But there really was one and it wasn't tethered to anything. Meaning
yeah,
that we
I was.
Could, so that was exciting that we got to hold it even with the battery and it was still very light. And
that was the thing. I hadn't held a near final version of it with a battery in it. And it was very, very light. So you like the Vita?
Yeah, 98% done, he said. And it's a 98% final build there, the unit.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're broadcasting in the atrium of the JW Marriott here in L.A., and a homeless person has walked up to us. How are you, sir?
I'm all right, boys.
Brian Miggles, how are you?
I'm okay.
This is your first.
I'm not a homeless person.
This is your first time being on a podcast, Beyond.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to say Beyond.
Hey, Beyond.
Okay, what was your favorite thing? Wait a second. Nobody knows who you are. What do you do at IGN?
I am a visual features editor. I'm responsible for all the cool infographics and charts and the
PSN hack timeline.
Yes, PSN hack timeline. I did everything we know about Wii 2 or
you did,
Wii U
you did,
thing
you did
that
the
went
Dead
up this
Space
week.
Timeline.
I did the Dead Space
oh, wait,
timeline.
Oh yeah, never came together.
Yeah, because the Dead Space timeline is retarded. Anyway, so
what was your favorite thing?
My favorite part of E3 was definitely BioShock Infinite.
BioShock Infinite
fucking
is badass.
It was really good.
You can say it.
I can.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys bleep out? Like,
no,
we don't bleep
out anything. We're explicit.
An explicit podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. We were doing this to kill time till the video team got here. It looks like the video team got here.
Oh, okay.
So now we got to go to our E3 meeting.
We'll be back. We'll be back.
Oh, okay.
Beyond.
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 Yeah.
Hey, everybody. We hate E3.
Hey. Yeah.
I'm actually doing great.
It's not that bad. No, okay, Ryan, you didn't get to go. What's the best thing you saw at E3?
It's kind of a tie. I really loved Super Stardust Delta.
Uh-huh.
I think that was probably the best Vita thing I saw, with a runner-up being Blaze Blue, because that game looks pretty.
It's called Blaze Blue.
Blaze Blues. And then I also really liked the fighting game, the downloadable fighting game called Skullgirls,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think anybody else saw really besides me, but it's really cool. Anthony saw it at GDC.
Uh-huh.
It's a collaboration between a tournament, like a Street Fighter tournament competitor named Mike Z, and an artist named, I want to say, Alex Zahad. Anyway, they collaborated, brought the resources together, got in a couple folks from Reverge Labs, which is a small game development studio, and it's a really cute, cool fighter. Should be awesome.
Cool. Favorite thing I saw was BioShock Infinite. Spoiler alert.
That's what I voted for across the board for Game of the Year, PlayStation 3 game of, what is it, Game of the Year, you know what I mean, Game of the Show, Game of E3, yada, yada, yada. I was so blown away by the color and the characterization. Just in a little bit, you saw how those characters, did you see it, anybody else see it? Did you have time?
Okay. I did.
You did, what did you think?
I thought it was stunning. Yeah. Although I always try and like give, you know, the littler games my nod, but I mean,
because you're a monster.
I just want the love.
Do you
want
to talk about the littlest game possible then?
Sure, let's talk about it.
Have you read any of my stuff today? Did you hear me talk about this Scribble Shooter?
No.
So that's what it's called, right? Scribble Shooter? That's what I call it? Okay. So I went and saw this game called Scribble Shooter today, which is awesome. And then what it is just it's a shoot 'em up. A shmup, as Damon calls them. Mm-hmm. And this developer had his kid draw a game. So he drew all the art with crayons. It's like a little ship he drew, and then aliens and monsters and all this shit, right? And there it's just crayon, you know, drawings or whatever. And then it's on a white background, and so like you fly the ship around and go, and the kid makes all the noises, so it's like, like, so all the sound effects in the game are from this one kid or whatever, and then it's got background music, and it's going on this white the background's white, so it's just like it's drawn on paper, and the paper's moving because like you come across like a coffee ring or whatever. It's awesome. It's totally fun, and it's only available in PlayStation Home. Like, it's not a real game. It's not a real game. It was over in the indie area by our booth, but then I went and up and saw, did a home demo. And in there, in home, you should still be able to do this, people. You should, totally should. Go play Home, which is free on your system if you didn't know. It's on the XMB. You gotta blow the dust off it. And then when you get in there, you can go to the Sony booth. Like, they have the virtual E3 booth again, you know. And you watch all the trailers there, and then that unlocks the VIP access, so you can go upstairs where we get all our private demos. And up there is the demo kiosk for the game. And then when they release the full game this summer, it's only gonna be at home. I thought that was awesome.
Awesome. I wish we could have seen that as a full download.
Yeah.
Even if it was like a dollar download.
I wouldn't be surprised if one day eventually it would be. But yeah. I think for this
that
release.
That sounds really neat.
What I want to know is if that kid's getting paid for all of his hard work.
His dad's getting money, yeah. His dad's rolling in it. And his dad's like keeping him in a cardboard box and stuff.
Yeah, it's messed up. It's fucked up.
And the kid, every night he begs. And he just begs for like a piece of bread. And his dad says maybe if it sells a million copies at home.
And he plays his noises on like a Casio keyboard. He did that he's not getting paid for.
Okay, now the question is, what's the worst thing you saw? What was your least favorite thing? I can go first because I'm dropping that on you if you don't have an answer.
No, I mean, I know the answers to both questions. I never got to say I don't think what I liked best, did I?
I started with you, and then Brian Miggles came over, and then we went back in the room.
Oh, right. So, yeah, I already said that. The worst thing, I think...
What did you actually say for the best thing?
I don't remember because I'm really
stop
tired.
It and play the tape? I don't know.
Did you get interrupted when...
Maybe.
All right, fine. What do you say it again? What's the best thing you saw? And this will be great if it changes.
Yeah, but it could be very well be different. No, I actually agree that the best Vita game I played was Super Stardust. That game
is
really awesome.
Little Big Planet's better. Little Big Planet's a better game.
I actually didn't play it.
It could, but I didn't play it.
Okay, then I'll let that go.
And then...
I take it back, ladies and gentlemen. That was the whiskey.
The worst game? I mean, I played a lot of, like, bad Kinect games
yes,
and stuff like that.
That's my vote. Michael Phelps pushing the limits. The worst game I played at the show.
Swimming game?
Yeah.
That sounds like
just
a great
terrible.
Deal of fun. I had a great interview, which is on IGN, with Hulk Hogan, and it was really funny, but that game didn't work very well.
Video interview. Go check the videos for whatever. Go to Hulk Hogan's Kinect game. Google that, and then go to the videos.
And biggest surprise, Blood Rain Betrayal.
I didn't say that, but cool.
Yeah, that's. I'm just going to throw
you know,
that.
You're just jumping around.
I'm too tired to keep everything in order.
I know. It's we're all train wrecks right now, except Clement. Clement seems he's like, he can go to work.
I'm actually kind of surprised, you guys. I guess the only advantage I have right now is that last night was the only night I let myself sleep in. So I had an extra, like, maybe 2 hours. So I got 6 hours instead of the four that has generally been.
I can trace my problems back to the fact that I've had no coffee today.
You didn't have coffee today?
Not one cup today.
Are you crazy?
I've been drinking water. I'm a little bit hungover, ladies and gentlemen, right. So I had to drink water.
I've just been drinking the water and the soft drinks myself.
Yeah. Kyle, you didn't really get a chance to sleep in last night?
I slept a little bit, but maybe 6 hours, which is more than I slept for the rest of the time I've been here. But I'm friggin' shot, dude. After dinner, I'm going to bed.
Man, you guys should come out.
I don't think I'm going to make it. I got to be honest with you. I'm just too tired.
I'll probably come out for a little bit.
You should, because it is E3, and we really get the chance to all hang out.
Yeah, because you guys have to work out.
Yep.
Clements, what's the worst thing you saw?
I'm almost... it's sad for me to say this, but my... It's
Final Fantasy.
No.
13 to...
No. It's not... Alright, what I'm about to tell you... That was my favorite
game. I know. It's disappointing that my favorite game was the worst game.
It was also the worst game. No. So here's the thing. I won't say that it's a bad game because I think there was some glitchiness going on here, okay? But Everybody Dance, I was not particularly happy
this
with.
This is the Move one, right?
The Move game. The Move dance game. Mike Thompson, one of our contributing editors and a freelancer for us, great guy, really actually pretty invested in motion control. So I usually, I think that's good that he actually, supports motion control in general. He enjoyed it. But I think we had different experiences, during our demos. Maybe his demo worked the right way, and I'm just I just had the got the shaft on that one.
Ew.
But I'm trying to dance to LMFAO. I'm
of
trying
course.
To get my groove on, and I'm doing the moves.
Which one do they sing? They sing "Celebrate Good Times."
I don't know. I don't think that's that.
Okay.
Anyway, that's a really old song. Actually.
I like the "Celebrate Good Times" song.
And then so I'm doing all these moves, and it's just like okay. Miss, okay, miss. It's not registering.
So you're
my
just
weren't
good at it.
Apparently, I suck at it. And I think even the woman that was the representative that was demoing it with me, she was doing multiplayer with me. She didn't seem overly convinced that things were going well either, because I kept turning around, smiling, being "Yeah, man, this is tough, huh?" And she was just sort of
So she was the equivalent of the guys from the Michael Phelps experience I had when my swimmer jumps into the water and just lays in the water, and I'm frantically flailing my arms, and nothing's happening. I slow down my arms, I speed up my arms, I put my arms down, and there's no reaction in the game, no help from the other people.
Yeah, it was really bizarre. I think that I wouldn't count that game out though. Thompson enjoyed it. I think it could be good. Maybe there was just some wonkiness going on.
Okay.
I think everybody needs to remember that with E3 we need to take everything. You need to take everything you read with a grain of salt, unless it's Michael Phelps, because this shit can change.
Watch Phelps get a 9.5 on IGN.
This stuff can change very easily, and a 10-minute demo could.
Yeah, it's never survived the whole game. I used to remember I watched Batman demo. And the first time I saw that, I wasn't sold in that game. I was like, I don't know, this is going to be good, man.
It turned out to be
the greatest comic book game ever.
Of all time,
whatever. Thanks, Dave Clayman. Man, we're fried. Anything else to say?
I just generally
I mean, I know there's a lot. There's a whole bunch of stuff we haven't. You're not going to get the incisive comment. If we went over everything right now, would you get the traditional Podcast Beyond incisive commentary?
I doubt it.
What?
Did you like how we did that during our
interview? That was awesome. That was good.
Oh, good. Yeah, we talked about it already. Yeah. For some reason, I thought this was being broadcast live.
You're more tired than
I spoiled it.
But we'll do after we marinate, we go home in San Francisco, we rest, we'll do a more proper Beyond, next Thursday, and we'll talk about everything we saw. I will say this, that I'm a believer in Vita, and I'm really, really,
I'm really excited
to get my hands on
it. I really, really want to play that, yeah.
I just had I once again must insist that I do not want to be the annoying chipper guy. But I think we all had a really good show. I was super happy with just pretty much working with everybody. I think that just all the editors at IGN and our friends at 1UP, it's just been really fun.
Yeah, so, I think we
got a GameSpy though.
When I say IGN, I kind of mistakenly include GameSpy in that. Yeah, they're technically different. But.
I will say that this was a really busy show for me. I didn't get to see or do
this is your first one being an editor. How'd that feel?
Yes, this is my first. I've been several E3s doing different tasks. This is my first one covering games. So I never got to play the Wii U. I never got to see a bunch of games at different things or whatever. That was a little disappointing. Maybe we'll get to do that when we go to Gamescom. But
it'll be out by then.
Yeah, it'll be out by then. There'll be 100 release games for it already by that point. But I also will say that I was pretty excited to learn that we won a Guinness World Record while we were here for most popular website.
IGN
most
is popular the most popular video game website.
Most popular video
in,
game.
In the 2012 book of Guinness World Records, they put out that video game book. Look for us. IGN.com.
I think it's pretty cool.
That's really cool. Not really.
Yeah.
No, I think it's.
What's going to happen when we lose that record? And that's going to be a dark day three years from now.
We all get fired.
Yeah. We won't lose that idea.
You better not. Go write something. Go write something. Generate some traffics.
All right. I'm tired. Let's go.
All right. Oh, man. You guys.
Beyond.
Beyond.
Remember to follow us on Twitter. We already did that bump, I guess, with him.
So this one.
No, let's sing a song now. We got to sing a song to end the show. Remember that's how it ends.
What do we want to sing?
Colin, give me something we'll all know. Some early 90s, mid-90s.
Early aughts. I'll just hum along with you guys.
Let's see. My name is Jonah. I'm carrying the wheel.
Why?
Thanks for all you've shown us.
Why did I know I wouldn't know this?
But this is how we feel.
Come sit next to... I'm going to rub this on Clint's face now. I'm glad, like, all the Sony execs are listening to this show. Every Sony exec's like, what the hell? Why did he do this show? Beyond!
Beyond! Beyond!
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.